Firstly, hello everyone. Welcome to our Cloud Lounge series. In today's episode, we will be discussing how to stop feeling overwhelmed and look at ways to prevent burnout. We'd love for you to ask us any questions. So please do so by popping any questions in the chat or the QR box, and we will keep an eye out and look at those as and when. We are delighted to be joined by one of our highly knowledgeable personal and professional career coaches on our platform, Parent Cloud and Wellness Cloud, Charlotte Worth. Charlotte, good afternoon, and thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us today.
Good afternoon. Thank you for asking me.
Our absolute pleasure. Charlotte, would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself, just introducing yourself, and then we can get into the meaty discussion of burnout?
Yeah, of course. I'm a coach. I've been coaching for about 3 years now. I used to work with the BBC for many years, and then actually probably had a case of burnout myself, left suddenly, a bit of a rash decision, freelance for a while, and then started working with an organisation where I worked alongside coaches and had job envy for the first time in a very long time, and realised that actually, if I'd have had a coach when I'd been at the BBC, my departure would have been very different, or I may not have even left. But it's done me good in the long run because I'm now doing something that I really, really love doing.
Brilliant. Well, in that case, can you tell us how you would define burnout?
Burnout is a feeling of exhaustion, and it's caused by a feeling of overwhelm and just not being able to find the energy to do anything. And I want to make a point here that it's very different from feeling stressed. If you're stressed, it is from being overworked, but you can see an end to it and you know that you just have to do this, this, and this to get to it. When you're feeling burnt out, you can't see that end. It's just like you've been stuck in a massive cloud or fog and there's no exit and you're just feeling exhausted and tired and lacking energy and about life in general.
Yeah. Well, I can say that I have witnessed it myself very recently. I think so many people went through it, especially during lockdown. Those that were having to work through lockdown, they had to adapt the way they were working, working from home. I know very much firsthand with my husband who was working. He works in finance, and I remember seeing him sleeping in the study because he was so overwhelmed. He said, "I can't leave. I don't know what's going on in the markets. It's just crazy." So I completely, everything you just said, those signs fully resonate. And I hope some people in our audience agree, in fact, but if you don't, please feel free to pop in any comments. What would you say would be the warning signs for burnout?
I think it's when you start to But if you previously really enjoyed your job and then suddenly you start to feel very critical and cynical about it, you're having to literally drag yourself out of bed. It's impossible to feel enthusiastic about anything, even if it was something that you'd previously really enjoyed. If you're lacking energy, if you can't concentrate on anything, that you just like start to do something and can't do it and find that you're just staring at a screen, not actually taking anything in. If you're not sleeping properly, if you're just turning to food, alcohol, sometimes even drugs, just getting unexplained headaches, all those signs are signs that you're just feeling overwhelmed with things and exhausted and burnt out.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I can say firsthand that I recognize so many of those signs. Probably even in myself, in a previous career that I was in publishing, I remember feeling, gosh, I just can't get myself out of bed today. Mm. I don't see the point anymore. What's the point in what I'm doing? And I think that for me was a big sign of, right, I need to change things. I need to maybe do something different. In my instance, I'd been doing it for a while, so I was glad to make the change. I can see that we've had a comment. I will agree, but it depends. Sorry, I'm just trying to open it up.
Yeah.
I will agree, but it depends. Stress can lead to burnout, but be careful that it can be depression as well. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for that comment.
And it could also be perimenopause or the menopause when you start to feel those things are very similar, and actually that it's just a different road that you need to go along and talk to doctors and things like that. So there's lots of different areas that can cause it.
Definitely.
Or feel like it's burnout.
And what would you advise to someone who is feeling this way at work?
I think if there's a lot, I mean, obviously, if you're a certain age, go and talk to your doctor because it could be menopause. But I would start to try and recognize the triggers. So if you can start making a journal, I mean, I always say I'm going to write things down, and I start for a few days and then I forget to write it down. But I am taking a mental note so that I think actually when I do this, when I do that, so see what triggers it. Take a step back and put boundaries in so that you have cutoff points where you say, no, I am just going to stop here. Try and prioritize just doing one thing a day.
When you say one thing a day, do you mean one thing for yourself?
Or? Yeah, one thing for yourself. So that, sorry, I've gotten off track a little bit here. You asked me how to spot it, which is just look for triggers. And think back at how you were a year before. And think about the job that you're doing as well. Is it something that actually you're not really enjoying it, or is it something that you have enjoyed before? So just have a marker of how you felt a year ago and how things have changed.
And would you say that having that lack of direction or definition in your role can certainly cause that sort of, do you think that would catalyze having burnout?
I think it can do, but it would depend on your personality. If you're somebody that needs structure and you need direction and then you've not got that anymore, then yes, that can, because that can make you anxious. Mm-hmm. Anxiety can then stop you from sleeping properly. It can start to get you overthinking. So then it sort of works as a sort of downward spiral. So yes, it can be.
We've just had a question from a lady called Hannah. She says, if you are not enjoying your job and you were a year ago, do you think that this will increase depression?
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you the science behind it. But if you're not happy, if the depression is caused by circumstance, then yes. If you're not happy in your job, and then if you're not happy in a job, then you take it home with you. It just builds and builds and builds. But that's, I would say that will be circumstantial depression, that yep. A change in what you're doing may make a huge difference.
Hannah, I hope that comment helped. And please keep putting your comments into the chat box. They're great to see. Can being overwhelmed with work cause feelings of resentment? And also that Sunday night blues as well. I know that something that I know so many people talk about. I'm very fortunate that in my current role, I don't have that, but I know I've had it in the past. Do you think that feeling overwhelmed can definitely bring that in?
Absolutely. There is nothing worse than that feeling of on a Sunday that, oh my God, I've got to go to work tomorrow. I really hate it. I can't be bothered. I've got no energy. I've got so much to do. I don't know where to start. So actually, I don't want to start. And what I would say, if it's because you've got so much to do and you don't know where to start, try and prepare for that Sunday feeling on a Friday, so that when towards the end of your day on a Friday, start to think about the week ahead, what you've got planned in there, what you need to prioritize, so that it's all planned out before you go home for the weekend. So then you're not worrying on a Sunday night, oh, I've got to do this, and oh my gosh, I've got all those emails and everything else. Because you know, actually, I've put this time in to look at my emails, I've put this time in to focus, and then I've got this, 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 and this. So try and preempt it.
Yeah.
In order to stop that Sunday night feeling. But yes, I think that definitely can cause overwhelm.
So would you say really planning your Mondays on a Friday afternoon will just stop that stressful feeling of, oh my gosh, it's Sunday. Oh, I'm going to go back to work. And
yeah. I think I, for me, yes, because I've had, in my previous career, I'd have, oh gosh, I've got all these things to do. And I'd just stress all Sunday. And it wasn't until I actually sat down on Monday morning and got it out of my head onto a piece of paper, I thought, and think, oh, actually, that's not as bad as I thought it was, because that only takes about 2 seconds to do. And in fact, it took me longer to write it down than it does to do it. So yep. If you have that before you go into the weekend, then the following week doesn't look quite so daunting. I mean, things will drop in that you can't control, but if you, but then in your planning, allow for those incidental things that might happen.
Yeah, sorry, I'm smiling because I fully relate. Only this week I had a big project that I needed to work on. I can hold my hand up and tell you all, I am not a PowerPoint whiz at all. It's been a long time since I've been doing things on PowerPoint, and I had to do a whole load of work on PowerPoint. And I just thought, oh, I just had this overwhelming feeling of dread. But I had, exactly like you suggested, I created a few bullet points, a plan and a structure on how I needed to approach it, and felt so much better afterwards.
Yeah. And I think also with the, I mean, Slack and Teams is great in lockdown, but what it does do is it means that you don't have any off downtime because the messages are popping up constantly. So if you can make sure that people know in those focus times, I'm not taking Slack messages, I'm not answering Teams. I mean, I don't use Slack and Teams, so I don't quite know how it works, but I won't be responding to emails in this time so that you can just focus on the things that you need to do. Then I think that will help. That builds in the boundaries that you need to just give you that breathing time. And if you need to, make that time a little bit longer so that you can have, I do the emails, and then I'll have a break. I'll do this thing I need to, like your PowerPoint, I'll do that. And then I'll give myself a little break, a little bit of wriggle time, so that if something does come in, I've got it. But if it doesn't, hey, I can relax for a moment.
So compartmentalizing your time, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. I will try and implement that myself for sure. Is burnout and feeling overwhelmed solely the cause of work stresses, would you say? Or can other factors be at play?
I think lots of other facts can be in play. I think full-time parents suffer from overwhelm because they don't get a break, because sometimes their partner thinks, well, you're at home all day.
Yep.
Why are you tired? But you're at home all day. It's still a job. You're still having to do all these things, but you're not actually having any grown-up time, any adult time, any me time. So yes, that can... definitely cause it. Lifestyle choices of just, are you busy at work and then you fill your evenings and weekends with loads of things as well, so you're not actually giving yourself any downtime to just catch up on that Netflix box set that you wanted to watch or something like that. It's, you're just keeping yourself constantly moving and not allowing yourself to breathe. And then different types of personalities. Perfectionists are awful at giving themselves a break because they just need to keep on going and going because it's just not quite perfect. People that aren't very good at delegating and just want to do everything.
Well, this leads on brilliantly to my next question, which is, do we think burnout is predisposed in some people more than in others? So I suppose what you're saying is your personality can have a real impact.
Yeah. And unless you're very good at putting in those boundaries and noticing the triggers, then yes, I'd say it is.
Wow. Well, I guess that's a point for myself to take away and think, right, how can I calm things down a little bit, slow things down for sure? What are the implications of not addressing being overwhelmed and feeling burnt out? What would you say would be the major implications of that?
You could break yourself, basically, is the only way. The best way to describe it, if you pull an elastic band till you pull it to its limit, it will snap. And that's what will happen if you don't give yourself that time to just breathe and regain that clarity.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good visualization to do, just thinking of that elastic band and how we are always trying to do more and more. I can see somebody just popped a comment in. I'm sorry, I'm just reading it before I say it out loud. Heather has commented saying this is sort of being sarcasm, but is it somewhat of a compliment to burnout? Only high-functioning people who care about their jobs burn out, I'd think. Slackers and those who are just who just are there for the paycheck wouldn't.
I think high-performing people can don't necessarily burn out. They know when to put their boundaries in. They know how to give themselves that time to refresh and then carry on with their work. I think that's the answer. I think that was the question.
Heather, let us know if we've sort of answered. And also we've got another comment. Work stress changes in organizations, such as having a new job, are in the middle of the list in the Holmes-Rey stress inventory. I'm sorry, it's not something I'm personally familiar with, but Charlotte, you're nodding, so I'm sure you are.
I'm not in the, I don't know that particular inventory, but...
We can find their relationship between stresses and disease has been proven. So not only burnout, only burnout is a problem, and burnout is now in ICD-11. Thank you so much for your comments. I have to be honest, I haven't fully understood about the inventory, but clearly we all have to agree that stress and burnout is a significant problem, and it is a real problem. And talking to Charlotte, hopefully we can come up with some techniques as to how to prevent it, really. And that's exactly what I was going to ask. So I know you've mentioned about setting boundaries, having some time for some self-care.
Yeah.
And even compartmentalizing your time, your working day. Would you say there are other things that we can do to try and prevent burnout?
If it's at work, try and delegate some of your work. Learn to say no. Even because we're all guilty of saying yes because we want to help people and then realize that actually we're not helping ourselves by saying yes to everybody else. So say yes to yourself and no to others until you're sorted out. But I think recognizing the triggers and most importantly, setting boundaries. So knowing when to stop.
So if delegating to others isn't an option because you are set certain tasks and it's your responsibility to get that done, but it's obviously a big task, how would you then approach to stop yourself feeling burnt out?
I would go and have an honest conversation with your manager and say, I can't do this at the moment. Are there ways that you can help, you can suggest that can help me with doing this?
As well as then also trying to implement those boundaries and compartmentalizing your time.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense.
And also stop having negative conversations or hanging out with other people that have negative conversations. Because if one person starts talking negatively, then the other person does, and it just brings you down. So, and then when you bring each other down, then the light has completely gone. So try and remove yourself from those people when you're feeling exhausted and tired and overwhelmed. Make sure that you have someone to talk to in a positive way, somebody who can help you see a way out.
And would you say that would be a good strategy in terms of getting help, actually finding either a positive person within your life or seeking somebody externally, counseling even?
I think that finding somebody to talk to would be an excellent idea. Find someone that's quite neutral as well, because our friends and family are all well-meaning, but a lot of the time, A, we say what we think the person wants us to say, and we sort of, in a very loving way, we put people into boxes of how we think they are, or we give advice. And advice is great, but that, because that worked for me, but it might not work for you. So if you go for counseling or coaching, then that person will get you to think about how you can help yourself. And you're more likely to put changes into place if you come up with it yourself rather than somebody tell you, because if I was coaching you and you came, you thought, oh, actually, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you start to create an emotion within you. And when we go to sleep at night, our brain remembers things by the emotion that is caused that day. So it's more likely to keep it in our long-term memory. If I just give you some advice, that it's just like, oh, yeah, that's nice, but it doesn't create anything in you. So if you come up with how you're going to work it out yourself through the conversation that you'd have with your coach or therapist, then you are more likely to action it. And it's those actions that will help you. And there might just be a small, just might be a small little step to get to the top of that mountain, but each step will get you there.
We've had a comment from somebody called Joy. Thank you for commenting. It says, why do you think burnout is such a common experience now? Is it because it's the new buzzword, but people have suffered this forever? Or is general resilience more lacking now? I go back and forth between thinking the way I feel is normal, in inverted commas, and has been like this for parents forever. Therefore, I just need to get on with it. And then wondering if it's actually something bigger. Joy, thank you so much for that comment. Charlotte?
There are so many answers to that one. So the first one is that I think it was really apparent in lockdown because we had no boundaries. When we were all working remotely, we didn't have those bookends either end of the day, when in the morning we'd leave the house, our work head would switch on. And even though we hated our commute, that was a really good time to sort of stop generating your thought process into going to work, working through what you've got to do and everything. And then when you get to work, you sort of had those thoughts. Then at the end of the day, you'd go home and you'd process what happened at work, so that then when you sorry about the doorbell.
No worries.
You'd process what had happened at work, so that then by the time you hopefully got home, you'd put work behind. So I think that is causing burnout now, because there's no differentiation. It's just blowing into one. I've got quite a lot of clients in America, and they've got completely different time zones. And so if you're working on the East Coast and your finish time is at 5 o'clock, on the West Coast, it's a few hours later. And so the West Coast is still messaging you. If you'd have been in the office, you'd have shut your laptop and hopefully not had emails on your phone, and you would have left it behind. Yeah. But because you're at home, you feel obliged to just continue. And that's the same here as well. The laptop is there shouting at you, going, oh, just one more. Or we've got it on our phone. So I think
it's on my phone.
Yeah, that's a huge cause of burnout, because you're just not stopping.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I am just speaking from personal experience. I have my emails on my personal phone. Way back in the days of BlackBerries, we had an office BlackBerry, but I could turn it off and you weren't expected to be on it outside of hours. But now that it's my personal phone, everyone knows that I am seeing the message, because it's, you know, I'm unlikely to ever turn off those pop-ups or those alerts. So people know that I've seen it. And it's that conscious decision of, well, actually I've decided I'm just ignoring it. I don't care what you think of me.
But if you don't have those notifications, you won't know that message has come in. And if you are feeling burnt out and exhausted, it's about making those decisions and putting those boundaries in. I am going to switch off my notifications. I'm going to put a message on my email that I finished for the day. I will not get back until tomorrow. But only you can make those decisions in order to move forward. If it doesn't upset, if it doesn't stress you and you like being on constantly, then that's fine. But if you are feeling overwhelmed, then that's like one small thing that you can do, is to put that boundary in that no emails, I'm not going to look at it.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really, really good tangible tip that all of us can take away from today. Just putting that auto out of office on when you're not actually meant to be working. It's such a simple thing, or just turning off the notification, such a simple thing, which I might just implement.
Okay. Well, I might check in with you in a couple of weeks and see if you have.
Absolutely. Please do. Joy, I hope those comments helped. I'm just quickly reading through your comments again to see if there was anything specifically that we could respond on. I know you've mentioned about and has been like this for parents forever. I know you're, so I'm guessing you are a parent yourself. And I can say, as a parent myself and a working parent too, it is overwhelming, and you are always working and parenting. It never turns off. So definitely cut yourself some slack for sure. And be kind to yourself is all I would say. But I'd let Charlotte comment more than I can because she is the expert.
Yes, be kind to yourself. And but parent guilt will never go away. Probably even when you're a grandmother, that guilt will still step in. But it is about being kind to yourself and setting yourself boundaries at home and allowing yourself to have some me time. It is okay to have some me time. Your children do not need you 24/7, even though we think they do. I'm currently trying to encourage my 10-year-old to just go out and knock on somebody's door. Well, not a stranger's door, a friend's door, and ask them to go out and play, which is what I did as a child all the time. So then that gives me me time, but it gives them independence as well. It's about, by actually stepping back, we're giving them a little bit of independence as well.
Definitely. That sort of wraps us up for today. I would just like to say yet again, Charlotte, thank you ever so much for coming in and talking to us. I think so many of us will agree that burnout and feeling overwhelmed are significant. And we have had a couple of thank yous. Thank you very much. So this has been really timely, especially with it being May, which is Stress Awareness Month. And I think there are so many nuances between shared themes between stress and overwhelm and burnout. So you can't really take them away from each other. So and all of it does come back to your mental health as well. So very timely for us.
Well, brilliant. Thank you very much for inviting me on. I've really enjoyed it. And I hope even if I've just helped one person, that will be good.
Fabulous. I'm sure you've helped everyone, in fact, on our podcast.
Never know.
Super. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us today. And we hope that you will listen to our further episodes that we're going to be hosting on Wellness Cloud and Parent Cloud. Wishing you all a lovely rest of your day and a lovely week ahead.